So Biden is incapable of dealing with his own Democrats to actually do something on the border, to get something done on the border. Let me give you an easy example. If he wanted to fix the border, he could have gone and embraced H.R. 2 that was actually passed by the United States House of Representatives. That would have begun to fix the damage caused on the border. But that's the last thing he wanted to do.
Because he wants it to stay open is why. They don't want to close the border. They don't want to do any of that. They want it to stay. He needs it to stay open. Joe Biden needs the border to stay. I'm going to use that. He needs it to stay open. I mean, we all know this. Welcome to the show. Happy, what the hell day is it? Thursday. Golly, why does it feel like a Wednesday still? I don't know. Don't ask. It's because the eclipse. Yeah. It's going to get crazy over the eclipse. Oh my gosh, cats and dogs. You guys ready? Sweet meteor of death. Let it be. Anyway, that's going to be Monday. But welcome to the show. It's Thursday, top of the first hour. Dana Lash with you. A lot of stuff to discuss. You got the, for those of y'all subscribers out there who listen daily, you listen to us coast to coast, you listen to us, whether it's, you can listen terrestrially, you can listen. Do I have to go every single, because we keep adding like more ways to listen to the show. Yeah. It's on X, it's on Rumble, it's on every, I mean, it's in your brain, it's in your eyeballs, we're everywhere. And you can follow along on all of those resources. So Substack, Chapter and Verse, the newsletter. I had this. I sent some of this out to you in your prep. This is a lot of the stuff that we're going to be going over today. You know, sometimes it changes right before we go over the show. I mean, it does because other stuff comes up. But several things actually to hit, and obviously the border battle, because the House is getting ready. The House is still having an existential crisis. Yes, after the existential crisis that they just had. And yes, that was after the existential crisis that they had prior. Okay, so they have a lot of existential crisis ease. Easies? Yeah. So this is the big issue. Do you know why this is? Let me pull this up. Very interesting piece at the Washington Times. Okay. Now, do you remember this is one of my favorite things to talk about every single election. Back in, this was, I think, in the late 90s when Clinton was president. That's when the soccer mom phrase became really big, right? It was the soccer mom phrase. Like, everybody's, you know, the soccer moms, those are the ladies that are really driving the vote. Those are the ladies that are really driving a lot of this momentum. It's the soccer moms, right? And it's describing, you know, mothers, suburban mothers who are very driven by their kids' success and their family security, etc. So soccer mom was like a catch-all term. You remember that term, Kane? That was huge in the, and one of the reasons it was so big in the 90s, this was a problem kind of for Democrats because they were playing up the fact that, oh my gosh, it's the soccer mom that is really supporting Bill Clinton. It's the soccer mom. Do you remember when Bill Clinton first started? When he first started running, do you guys remember this? And he had Hill Dog out there, right? He brought Hillary out there. Hillary, this couple fascinates me. Hillary is a very ambitious, to the point of fatality for others, woman, right? Very ambitious woman. And so Hillary Clinton, she and both Bill, when they met at law school, I really do feel as though she had forever. I mean, well, we all know this. She always wanted to run for elected office. She always wanted to be in a position of power. This is a big thing for her. And then Bill got, you know, it was Bill ran. And I feel like she resented having to take a back seat to his career, so to speak. And she gave this interview. And this was, I was in junior high. She gave this interview. And she was asked about, visiting, raising funds, you know, doing the, you know, crisscrossing the country campaigning. And she had said that she didn't have time for tea and cookies. She didn't have this. Let me pull this up. This was all the way back. Golly. I mean, even CNN had to write about it. Hillary Clinton, cookies and the rise of working families. She had said that it was in 1992, Hillary Clinton said that she could have stayed home and baked cookies and had tea. But that's literally what she was on the campaign trail. And she had said, quote, I could have stayed home and baked cookies and had teas, but what I decided to do was fulfill my profession. She said that in 1992. Oh boy. Now, as you can imagine, that was about the exact same time that they were pushing the soccer mom stuff and trying to woo these women to Bill Clinton. And you had his wife basically go and kick them in the gut with that comment, because that's when the soccer mom comment became, or the demo became really huge. It said they started identifying women that began back in the 90s. So they're out there desperately trying to win these women over. And she's out there saying, well, I could have stayed home and baked cookies and had teas, but I wanted to fulfill my profession. Oh my gosh, women were enraged. Democrats in the Clinton campaign had to do a lot of damage control. And they really had to go almost to a freak show level to bend over backwards and woo them after that. Because women, y'all know this. Y'all got ladies in your lives. Y'all know. And all you women out there listening, you know, ladies hold a grudge. If there was a grudge off in the Olympics, there would be no male competitors. It would all be women. There, and this is one way in which a man who wants to be a woman will never be a woman, because you will never hold a grudge like a woman holds a grudge. You can tuck and lipstick and grow your hair out and wear whatever you want, but you will never, ever, ever come close to holding a grudge in the magical, mystifying way that a woman does. It is in our DNA, ladies and gentlemen. It takes an act of God, literally faith, to get around this flaw. And so it really took a lot for women to get over this. So from the soccer mom, it went into security mom after 9/11. You guys remember this, right? After 9/11, George Bush. And then he stood atop of the wreckage and said, you're all going to hear from us. And pretty soon the people will knock down these towers, they'll hear from us. And then it turned into the security mom. Moms were worried about buildings being knocked down by terrorists, falling on their kids. They were worried about terror attacks. This is a very real thing to be aware of in 2001 America. Security mom was the big, that was the demo. Went from soccer mom to security mom. Moms who knew everything about soccer and sports became moms who knew everything about every single terrorist group from the Pashtun tribe that was not the Taliban that we funded back in the 90s that everybody gets so wrong about Reagan. The Mujahideen, the everything. They knew everything. It was the security mom. The security mom knew about the visas. The security mom knew about gaps in our national security. That was the demo that Republicans scored with in the early aughts. Well, now, ladies and gentlemen, we've got debuting now a new demo. And this one, just as security mom didn't work well for Democrats, neither is this one. It is the border mom. Introducing border moms. I have, in a number of stories now, seen this term come to light, even used by people on the left. It is the border mom. It is the mom who is concerned about what her children are exposed to, what's being brought across the border, the mom who's concerned about crime, the mom who is concerned about the conservation of resources for taxpaying American citizens and people here legally in her area. It is the mom who is worried about the future of her country. It is the mom that is worried about whether or not another 9/11 could happen because people are sneaking across the border in droves. It is the border mom, and it is killing Biden politically. That is the new demo. And so now Democrats find themselves having in a position of defense on multiple fronts. I have to tell you, I don't want you to get excited, though, about this. Because I feel like the polls are misleading. Never, ever, ever, ever underestimate a Democrat's desire for their zeal for political ideology at the expense of their own self-preservation. Never underestimate that. But this is a problem for Democrats. Not only are they fighting the greenies, not only are they trying to keep the Rust Belt happy, and the greenies and the Rust Belt are absolutely opposed to each other, yet they're somehow part of this Democrat coalition because Democrats can lie to both of them, keep both of them happy, and deliver for neither. So they're trying to keep the Rust Belt happy with automobiles and manufacturing and jobs. They're trying to keep the greenies happy with EVs and basically giving an energy monopoly to China. They're trying to keep Muslim Americans happy over Gaza and Israel. And they're that's why you see all these headlines today. Oh, Joe Biden's so mad. He's actually on a phone call, apparently about wrapping it up with Benjamin Netanyahu now. And it was supposed to be a very tough phone call. And Biden is peed. That's what was what one of the headline was headlines was. Biden's angry. Biden's infuriated. They're really trying to telegraph that Biden's very mad, but Biden's not going to do a damn thing so that they can keep the Muslim vote in Michigan happy and they can stop these noncommittals from spreading past Michigan and Wisconsin. They are trying to defend on a number of fronts. And now you got border moms. I don't envy a Democrat. I mean, I never did, but I particularly don't this election. So what does this mean for them? Now they got border moms. Well, they can't make the open border people unhappy. This is what happens when you play identity politics and you try to make everybody happy. You know, there are some realities that are just not going to happen. This is why I have zero problem in telling conservatives, that's Republicans, that some of the ideas that they have are anti-conservative and anti-Republican. Like forcing everyone to provide paid childcare. That's something that businesses should want to provide. If you want welfare, go ahead and change your party affiliation and walk your fat, happy ass right across the aisle. And you go sit and you caucus with Democrats because those are the people who want that type of welfare scheme. Or the Republicans who want to fund forever wars in Ukraine. Hate to tell y'all, but we got a wide open border down with Mexico. We got a wide open border up with Canada, apparently, as well. And we have 20-something thousand Chinese nationals that were able to sneak in. That's not including the gotaways across the border just this year alone, apparently, according to Border Patrol. So no, we're not going to fund a forever war in Ukraine because we got issues to deal with at home that we can't apparently afford because y'all ain't paying for it. So this is what this is. Democrats, so they can't tell their people that. They're like, yeah, we're all going to go to EVs. And all the people who are putting together automobiles in Michigan are like, what? We're what? Oh, yeah, we're going to do all this other stuff. We're going to have with ethanol regulations and we're going to have pass all these fuel regulations and everything else. You have the Rust Belt scratching their heads over this. Or they're sitting here telling the Muslim vote. And the squad and all the far left and all of this. Oh, yeah. Israel's so bad. Can you believe? I mean, forget the fact that Biden droned and killed a bunch of Americans, innocent Americans, and that before him, Obama did as well. But they're very, very upset over this absolute accident that happened in a literal war zone that's been a war zone for 20 plus years. He's going to have a very angry phone call with Netanyahu. We're going to act like we're taking some moves to disengage from Israel. And in the meantime, we just sold them weapons and a bunch of F-15s or jets. That came out yesterday. Okay. So they're promising, they're really bad at triangulation. And that's what they're trying to do here. We have a lot more coming up about all of this. And we're going to get into also government is making a move to control the wide open frontier of the internet through Title II regulations. Brendan Carr is going to be on later this week, warned us about this. We're going to talk a little bit about this coming up as well.
Hi, I'm Erica, an English major at Hillsdale College. Here's Hillsdale President Dr. Larry Arn with a Constitution Minute.
The human soul is made to learn, and the highest things of life are the best things to learn. One of these, it turns out, is the way we govern ourselves, and one of the best examples of that is the Constitution of the United States. It explains what our government should look like and how it should function to best protect our rights. It was created to give us the freedom to make choices about the way we wish to live. Unfortunately, most colleges and universities today fail to teach our Constitution. When they do, they often denigrate it. This is dangerous because it is impossible to preserve our liberty if we don't understand where it comes from and how to protect it. Having a proper civics education is essential to preserving our freedom.
To learn more and get a free pocket Constitution, visit ConstitutionMinute.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So the Key Bridge collapse sites, the second channel has opened amid recovery discussions. I saw a video of this little tugboat just, you know, little boot scooting there across the bay, getting a ship out. That was kind of a little cute little ship, little cute little tugboat. But anyway, they said one key point that that was made, the second channel is running through the river. The Key Bridge collapse. They said that shut down the Port of Baltimore. It's been a full week. They were able to get a ship through. That was the tugboat I was just, you know, adorably talking about. A little adorable tugboat. But they said that they're still working to try to reopen the deep draft channel. They said that's their number two priority is to remove the dolly from the channel and continue to work on that. They have divers still that are surveying around the ship. The cargo ship's owner is trying to limit liability, saying they shouldn't be held responsible for any damages. They've already asked a federal judge, though, if in fact they are, to put a cap on those damages, not to exceed the value of the ship, which they say is just over $43 million, to which I say nosies. No, sirs. That's inexcusable. No. A balding fugitive has asked the police to stop mentioning his receding hairline in wanted posters. This is so very British. It's in Britain. It's Avon and Somerset Police. And Daniel Kellaway's told the police there that there's no need to mention the hairline after the force appealed for his whereabouts. They described the 29-year-old as white, about 5'9" of average build, with brown eyes and receding brown hair. Not liking this brutal but accurate description, Mr. Kellaway replied, "I'm heading to Turkey to get it sorted, and then we'll catch up." He's wanted over apparently driving offenses, criminal damage, and threatening behavior. But he totally does have a receding hairline. I mean, I'm not going to say anything about his ears. Yeah, don't mention it. He gets very upset. There's some insane. Did you guys see the videos? Taiwan had two back-to-back earthquakes. One was like a 7.5, one was a 7.4. Insane videos have emerged from this massive earthquake from Taiwan. It really did look like an apocalypse thing. And there's worries now as well that the quake could plunge the global smartphone industry into chaos, as the world's largest chip maker. They're responsible for 90% of the supply. They've halted operations as they assume cleanup and recovery. Just crazy. Sleeping Beauty, apparently at Disney, got a boob job. There's jokes that she's going to start an OnlyFans. It's a Sleeping Beauty attraction at the theme park resort in the Netherlands. Disney Princess, stick with us.
Hello, thank you for listening to The Dana Show. This is columnist and podcaster Sarah Carter, and I'd like to tell you about your new best friend on Friday nights, ZBiotics. Let me tell you, if there's a surefire way to wake up feeling fresh after a night of drinking, it's with ZBiotics. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in your gut. It's this byproduct, not dehydration, that's to blame for your rough next day. ZBiotics produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down. Just remember to make ZBiotics your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Every time I have ZBiotics before drinks, I notice a difference the next day. Even after a night out, I can confidently plan on waking up with a smile on my face, ready to face the day. Go to ZBiotics.com/radio, R-A-D-I-O, to get 15% off your first order when you use radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout. ZBiotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're ever unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. That's ZBiotics.com/R-A-D-I-O, radio, and use the code radio, R-A-D-I-O, at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And the mechanism and the mechanisms attached to the inhaler.
Easy for you to say.
How dare you make fun of his whatever the hell it is when he falls up the stairs? How dare you make fun of his lisp when he like makes up the umpteenth million story about how his first son passed away? How dare you make fun of his lisp? All of that's lisps. Did you know? None of these people in this administration can talk. Nordstrom, Nord Stream. Can't say emeritus. I can't even. How did she? I still.
Tyranny.
Oh, for the love. See, say Broadway. Welcome back. Dana Lash with you, bottom of this first hour. Okay, can we? We got to get this out of the way. Did y'all see this morning? Let me share with you this headline. New York Post. Get ready. DOJ demands prison time for Ashley Biden diary thief. Yeah. So the Justice Department has asked a New York district judge to sentence the woman who they claim stole first daughter Ashley Biden's diary to 4 to 10 months in prison for the crime. What? Is it stealing, though? They want prosecutors for U.S. Attorney's Office. They wanted initially a sentence of 6 months of home confinement, 3 years of supervised release for Amy Harris, who pled guilty in August. She conspired to commit interstate transportation of stolen property in connection with diary theft. Diary theft is a felony, don't you know? Thou can't steal a diary. This woman is my age. She is my age years old. Get your life together, Ash. Oh my gosh. She left her weirdo diary in a flop house. That's how it was initially reported. She left it behind in a dirty mattress at a flop house. Maybe it wasn't dirty. You know, I'm just, you know, still. And apparently this lady got it, and then it went from there, right? But it's not, how is this like a felony to the point of you get 10 months in prison? The same people who told you that the laptop wasn't real told you that the diary wasn't real. I talked to James O'Keefe about this. I've known James for a long time when he was in South Lake at a fundraiser where I live. And we had this conversation. And he was like, this woman just, you know, offered it to us. And he was the one, they like reached out to law enforcement because they thought, oh, wow, this is really real. And there was like stories of sexual abuse in this. This is where President Daddy Showers, the name comes from. She literally writes in her diary about how she, when she was, what, 13 years old, she was showering with her dad. Guys, that's weird. Maybe that's why Hunter's so messed up. I don't know. This is weird. We're not making this up. She wrote this. She wrote these things in her own hand. And then there's video of her, audio of her, audio soundbite 17. She admits in a recording that it's her diary. Listen to this.
Hi, is this Ashley Biden?
This is she. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, I just wanted to, so I heard you have a few of my belongings. And so I was going to ask if you could please meet my friend, Eric, who is down in Delray, if you could meet him and get this up to him.
There's a diary here. It starts in January. It says, January, at the end of a New York month, I'm sitting on a bed at the I building.
Yeah, so if you could just give everything that you have to Eric, that would be really great.
I don't want to give this to the wrong person. I mean, I want to make sure.
At this point, and I don't mean to, I don't want to have to get Secret Service involved in this, right? Because it just is, it's a whole process.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I am Ashley Biden. It is my stuff. So if you could just skip all of that over, I would really appreciate it. I know you sent a picture to my husband with a camera and a few other things that are mine as well. So that would be really great. Where is a good place for him to meet you?
There's also this bag with luggage tags on it. And so is that bag, because there's all this stuff. Is that bag yours too, Ashley?
Yes, it is.
So it's her. She says that's her. That's her. Her diary. And in her diary, she writes in pages 67, 68, quote, I was so afraid of him coming into the shower with me that I waited until late at night to take a shower. That's when she was 16. There is another page where she asked, hypersexualized at a young age. What does this do to? Was I molested? I think so. I can't remember specifics, but I do remember trauma. I remember not liking the Woolzak's house. I remember somewhat being sexualized with Caroline. I remember... she's talking about friends at a young age, showers with my dad, probably not appropriate, being touched when I wasn't supposed to be. This was all the stuff that she was like writing in her diary. And then Snopes was like, no, there's no evidence that she said she feared her dad was like, and then like side by side comparison, Snopes was saying there was no evidence. And then here's literally the handwritten diary. And people were saying one of the examples or one of the excuses the left was giving is, oh, well, it was probably forged. Do you mean forged in the middle of the diary in her exact handwriting as all the other stuff in the diary? Shut up. That's so lame. This is the stuff that she wrote in her diary. This is so goofy. And she left it behind in a flop house. And so they're not concerned about going after the person who she's talking about. Apparently they want to go after the person who found her diary, didn't steal it. When you leave it behind, you abandon it. No one stole it from her. She left it just like no one stole Hunter Biden's laptop. He left that. He left that at the repair office. No one stole it. These people are ridiculous. So they are arguing that it's her diary and that apparently there's got to be some kind of prison time for this person. This Amy person that they said stole this, who didn't actually steal the diary. Remember how they said, Amy Harris is her name. Remember how they said that it wasn't her diary and they were acting like it was a no big thing? Why does she have to get the Secret Service involved is what I'm curious about. Why does she feel like she has to threaten to get the Secret Service involved? You're a drug addicted 40-something year old woman who does not have her life together and is leaving, you know, very personal items like your flipping diary and a mattress. That's your responsibility. Why is it that the Bidens don't have any kids that are not liabilities? Every single one of these kids have exposed these two. At some point, the common denominator here is Joe and Jill's parenting. You have two kids who are drug addicted. Two kids who like to share way too much, whether it's video diary or written diary. They can't keep track of their belongings. They think everything that they leave or everything that they do or every situation in which they put themselves is somehow the fault of everybody else. Everyone else did this to them. So this woman who found this diary because this drug addict first daughter left it behind, they're threatening her with jail? Why don't you talk to the president of the United States who's being named as taking showers with his teenage minor daughter? Why don't you talk to him? Or maybe have a talk with your 40-something-year-old daughter who apparently doesn't hold a steady job and can't stay off dope. Maybe talk with her. Maybe Joe and Jill should have curbed their ambitions for elected office just a little bit and raised their damn family. Maybe they should have raised their kids instead of trying to raise his profile. Maybe they should have raised their kids instead of trying to raise their chances of getting into the White House. No wonder the country looks the way it does right now. Have you seen their home? Have you seen their family? And yes, it is absolutely fair. When you sign up to run for the highest office in the land, by God, you're going to be judged by every measure available and how strong as a father figure you are, how good of a parent you are. Because if you can't keep your kids in line, how do we expect you to keep anybody else in line? Get real. They don't enforce anything at home. They don't set boundaries at home. So that's why you don't see anything forced at large in the United States or anything enforced here. Good grief, their dogs couldn't even stop biting people. This is ridiculous. But doesn't it seem that way? Why Democrats apparently don't want to have that conversation. When you see kids that turn out this way, up until a certain point, it's the kid's fault, right? The child chooses, especially when they're 40-something years old, they choose their path in life. But don't you think it's weird that, I don't know, maybe we would have known something about this with Bo. Who knows? They kept that all under wraps until Joe was running for the White House. But it's kind of odd that you have all, you know, there are kids that are all dealing with this situation, right? And the fact that Bo's widow, like, had this relationship with Hunter and was like as depraved as he was to an extent does make me wonder about Bo's character. I mean, I would wager that they were all like this. So then you have to ask, what's the common denominator here? It's the parenting. Just insane. It's insane. And so they're going to go after this woman for doing nothing but what? Finding this diary. Now, this new poll that I wanted to show you Because a lot of people are talking about Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and Michigan, the blue wall, all of this. There's a Franklin and Marshall poll that's showing Biden at 48 and Trump at 38 in Pennsylvania. I'm not trying to rain on your parade, and I get really aggravated when I see people so blindly, their loyalty's fine to winning. I get it that you want to win, but if you're so like blinders on that you don't see that you might be getting led into something, I have to question whether or not your intent is to win or just be right. Because sometimes just being right about something isn't enough to win. And the reason I bring this up is because I really feel like people are being set up for disappointment with some of these polls. The RCP averages, RCP includes a lot of polls, some of which I wouldn't include, some of which are push polls, some of which have such a small sample size, some of which I wouldn't even consider even citing in talking to you about surveys. This Frank and Marshall poll cast a little bit of a wider net, looked at likely voters, or sorry, registered voters, and was looking at Biden 48, Trump at 38 in Pennsylvania. It's a lot closer with the third party candidates included, but it doesn't take away Biden's 10-point advantage in this latest survey. The reason I bring this up is because, I'm warning you, they have not even started spending their war chest. That's still to come. That is still to come. And this is why it's more important than ever for Trump to totally focus on the issues. If he stays laser focused on the issues, then he has a great shot. If he gets distracted, if he gets into petty, already settled primary stuff, that's why I question the motives of the people who can't move past it. I think that they're plants or they're psyops. I think they're Democrat plants that are designed to drive division on the right, and they shouldn't be trusted and they should be disregarded and ridiculed out of existence. Personally, that's what I think, but at least in the public sphere. But I also think that if he focuses on the issues, gets out of the petty partisan, you know, the petty primary stuff, and also doesn't focus on his legal issues, they can't, what are they going to do? People realize you're comparing the economy under Trump to the economy under Biden, and people have lived both, and you can't lie to people and tell them that these 4 years were better than the previous 4 years. That's what people are going to use. That's what they're going to remember. That's the measure that they are going to use when deciding whom to vote for in November. As long as he stays laser focused on that, Democrats don't really have any way to counter it. We'll talk more about this coming up, including this big tech or this government maneuvering to try to take over the internet. We'll get into all of that. With expenses soaring and little left after filling up the car and buying groceries, many find themselves swiping their credit cards and plunging into high interest debt. If you are a homeowner, American Financing offers a solution. They provide relief from the burden of credit card interest rates. American Financing is empowering customers to save an average of $854 monthly by utilizing home equity to eradicate high interest debt. A simple, complimentary 10-minute call can unveil your potential savings. Plus, rest assured, there are no upfront fees. And by taking action today, you might even postpone two mortgage payments. Reach out to American Financing now at 866-574-2500 or visit AmericanFinancing.net to take control of your financial future. Again, that's 866-574-2500 or visit online at AmericanFinancing.net.
NMLS 182334. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org. APR for rates in the five start at 6.799% for well-qualified borrowers. Call 866-574-2500 for details about credit costs and terms.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
The climate crisis is not a crisis. The climate crisis is not a result of natural disasters, it's actually man-made. It's a result of...
I'll say it again, because I think they missed it.
The climate crisis is man-made. And it's not just man-made, it's white man-made.
Why is she wearing a tablecloth? What's her problem? It was hard to understand this audio. She's mad because of what? She's saying that it's something what? Kane?
White.
What's her problem with them? Climate change? She thinks she's a climate advisor.
So I think in her mind,
where she's not a meteorologist.
She believes that the industrial revolution is what brought upon this man-made pollution that has caused this man-made.
She can go back
climate
to the Stone
change.
Age then. The jurisprudence probably of the country of her forefathers, you know, pretty much goes along with that timeline anyway. So go ahead and go back to it.
And then you have a virtue signaling audience where she throws in, you know, obviously the industrial age was brought upon us by white men. So
the irony of this chick, all made up, sitting there at an event, railing against apparently white dudes, blaming them for causing climate change because of industrialization, when she benefits from industrialization by way of sitting there wearing the clothes that she wears, the makeup that she wears, espousing the beliefs that she espouses, because they're entirely shaped by her experiences as the result of industrialization, is one of life's great ironies. And she sits there dumb as a box of rocks and acts like, and she has a smug face after she says it, like she said something really tough. Good grief.
Well, these are the days of the United States.
No wonder men are staying single longer, because when you have that type of intelligence in amongst women, I would too if I was a dude. Good grief. I'd be worried that my kids would come out even dumber than the previous generation. Good heavens. I can't stand that stuff. I can't stand it. I can't. White dudes cause, blah, blah. Oh, but white dudes cause climate change. White dudes built volcanoes? Do you know how much CO2 spit into the air every single time a volcano erupts? Oh, wait a minute. No. Where is she from? Out of curiosity. Let me look something real
question.
Quick. I mean, what is a climate advisor?
She's from a sheltered and uninformed life.
Clearly. Oh, she's Pakistani-American. She's from Pakistan. So if it wasn't from the industrialization that led to the United States being the superpower that it is, you wouldn't be able to be American-Pakistani, and you wouldn't be able to enjoy the education that was built upon the foundation of the industrialization of the United States. So all the things that she's bitching about are things that she also coincidentally takes advantage of here. So if she really believes everything that she's saying, she will sit here and denounce her education and go back to her country of origin and not have anything to complain about. And you can live in peace and harmony if that's what you think that you're going to have there. Go ahead. Be my guest. We'll help pay for the flight. Stay with us. Second hour on the way. Our partners that help bring you free radio, Gold Co. Precious Metals, because by the end of this administration, we may all need this, just to be honest. So Gold Co. knows that the IRA field is just honestly just ridiculously confusing. It really is. Finding a precious metals company that you can trust is not an easy task. So turn to Gold Co. because Gold Co. wants to make sure that you are completely educated and know everything about the gold IRA field. And they make it super easy. They got this free 2024 gold kit, and they give you very thorough information that explains the economy and how gold IRAs work, and explains how gold and silver, adding that, is a hedge against inflation. It's really an important part of your overall retirement and saving strategy. And their goal is to make it not only for you easy for you to understand, but easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold or silver. And you can learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver on top of it. Unmatched customer service, zero complaint record, first rate service. I've worked with them, I know. Dedicated to transparency, no pressure. Ask about their highest buyback guarantee also. So protect your family's financial future and freedom, and get started today. Day at DanaLikesGold.com. Get that free gold kit from Gold Co. Learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver at DanaLikesGold.com.
They were targeted systematically, car by car, because they were not successful in hitting. They keep trying. This happened over more than 1.5, 1.8 kilometers. So this was not just a bad luck situation where, oops, we dropped the bomb in the wrong place or not. Every country, obviously, that nationals, including United States, that had nationals that die on this attack, we need to have an investigation that is neutral. The humanitarians and civilians should never be paying the consequences of war. This is a basic principle of humanity. At the time, this looks like it's not a war against terrorism anymore.
This guy
seems this is a war against
humanity. By the way, your food sucks. I've eaten at one of your restaurants. First off, welcome back. Daniel Lash here with you, top of the second hour. This is Jose Andre, who is the guy who did the World Central Kitchen. And that's where you had those aid workers, the seven aid workers, six aid workers, one guy and driver who were killed. This idea that he's going out there saying that Israel intentionally targeted them. Not only is that sound like Hamas propaganda, because it is, but there's zero evidence, and it was a precision strike. And sometimes in a war zone, things happen. Just ask Obama, Biden, when they droned Americans. There was no outcry. The only reason, and I wrote about this the other day over at Substack, any innocent loss of life is bad. But this is also one of the consequences, one of the things that goes along with working in a war zone that Hamas created, a war zone that Jose Andre has harsher words for Israel for defending itself than Hamas for creating this entire disaster in the first place. He wouldn't even need to be there doing any of this stuff if Hamas hadn't started this. And I've noticed he has no condemnation for Hamas. He's mad over the aid workers. Is he mad over the hostages that are still in Gaza? Is he mad about the babies that are still being kept? The children, the women, the Americans? Is he mad about the women who were targeted and used and raped to death? The women who had grenades shoved into their vaginas or had their breasts cut off while they were being gang raped by Hamas barbarians? I've noticed he doesn't have any kind of words for that. But all of a sudden, oh, it's Israel was doing a strike by strike. That's insane Hamas, anti-Semitic ball, just garbage, garbage. This guy. And that's exactly what it is. He's mad because they weren't, he wouldn't have a problem if they were Israeli. And you know I'm right. He would have no problem if they were Israeli. Because I can't really seem to find, you know, all of the, like the hospital that Hamas bombed, the Israeli hospital that Hamas bombed, that the media ignored. But then when Hamas misfired a rocket and literally on tape, you could see them fire it and it turns around and hits one of their own hospitals in Gaza. And then they went out and told everyone that Israel did it. And then all the media began parroting it. They don't care if it's Israelis' lives that are lost. They only care if it's Hamas. Or if it has to do with, you know, he just sounds like a Hamas supporter. The idea that they would be intentionally, that's not what Israel does. That is exactly what Hamas does. And this sounds like, this is insane. Why would they even do that? The only people that benefits is Hamas. And they're using that just like you would expect them to. They're using it as propaganda just like you would expect them to. And Jose Andre is helping. So I guess we know what side he's on. Maybe you should go and overcook more of your overpriced fish. Just insane. Insane. I didn't see him out there. I didn't see Jose Andre out there doing anything to help the hostages. Did you see Jose Andre out there doing it? Did he make any meals for the hostages?
No.
Did Jose Andre make any meals for the women who were raped in captivity in Gaza? Did Jose Andre make any baby food for the infants that are being kept by Hamas in Gaza? Just wondering. I think we kind of know whose side that he's on. I wonder if he was concerned about the Israeli soldiers who were killed in Gaza when they were hunting down Hamas. Was he concerned about any of those? Did he think that they were targeted? And the response that Israel gave, I thought, was very sincere and contrite. I mean, how many people, wasn't there a, wasn't there like a, the drone strike? I know that there was the drone strike under Obama Biden, but wasn't there a recent strike where you also had some danger close here with American lives? Under the Biden administration. I'm just saying this. He doesn't know how to even respond to any of this. They're using all of this stuff as a way to manipulate the president into walking away from Israel. And I wanted to pull this up. This is from CBS. The White House had to downsize its Ramadan gathering because apparently the only dinner attendees at their Ramadan dinner were people who were with the administration. They said it was a downsized event because people are, they thought it was inappropriate to do a celebration when there's a famine going on in Gaza. Wow. I mean, maybe Hamas could spend some of their billions on food for Gazans that elected them. Why do people let Hamas off the, it's easy. They let Hamas off the hook because they're Hamas sympathizers. There's no gray area here. There is no gray area. If you are sympathetic toward, if you're excusing Hamas's actions, go ahead and identify yourself as a terrorist supporter. You are. Just like this article. Oh, there's famine in Gaza. Oh my goodness. They didn't feel like going to this Ramadan dinner because of that. Hamas, I had the story earlier. Hamas has such a cash load. Why are they not supplying their residents with food? Why is no one in the press asking this question? This is being used to manipulate the Biden administration into backing Iranian proxies against an ally, the only ally that we have in that region. So then it becomes a NatSec issue in that respect. I mean, if you're backing Iranian proxies, might as well go ahead and give another cash infusion to Iran. Because that's exactly what this all is. Why is no one asking, well, why isn't Hamas spending any money on this? Why is Hamas instead buying munitions? Why are they buying more rockets? Why are they, all of this stuff. They seized aid the last time it went in and they used it for themselves. We found it in one of the strongholds that they had. Didn't they find some of it under that hospital when the IDF went in there and raided it? So they had to reduce, they had a very downsized Ramadan dinner. And they, it was apparently only the administration. They said that Muslim Americans are outraged over Biden's support of Israel's siege of Gaza. Israel's siege of Gaza. No mention about Gaza's siege of Israel. And that this is a response to it. This is the same formula that blames innocent people for defending themselves and hurting their attackers. This is the same kind of formula that says your skirt was too short. It's the same formula. And I'm amazed at how many stupid people are buying into this. So the White House held a smaller iftar dinner. Okay, well then, hold a smaller, and they should hold a small one then every year if that's how this wants to go. Just make it small every year then. So they had Biden and Harris, they hosted a meeting with Muslim leaders and they were joined by senior administration officials. Then they had that doctor, Dr. Ahmed, who is a Gazan-American ER doctor based in Chicago. He went to Gaza. He attended the meeting and he made a big stunt about walking out of the meeting in the middle of it, you know, I guess to make a point. He told CNN that he was the only Gazan. I don't say Palestinian again, and I will do this every time because it's a fake ethnicity. It's a fake country that's never existed in all of antiquity that is being used by Hamas, popularized mainstream by Yasser Arafat. And they're trying to drive it into the minds of people that it's always existed when it hasn't. It was a name that was spitefully given to an area by Hadrian as a consequence to defeating the Jews in the Second Judean Uprising. And it was named almost facetiously after Philistines, a seafaring people from Crete who had already departed the area some couple hundred years prior. So get the history right. They don't know how the White House attended the selected the attendees. So he's having a lot of problems. Democrats are worried that his loss of support amongst Muslims could actually help Trump. And I just want to point out the irony of this. Imagine being so mad over people defending themselves against terrorists in Gaza that you would actually compromise your best chance at getting what you want in the Middle East. I'm all for that. Oh, yes, let's do this more. I hope this conundrum continues for Democrats with how to respond to this. I mean, they know the right way to respond. In fact, John Fetterman is getting more based by the day. I can't even believe I'm saying this. What is the matter with the world right now? I want you to listen to this. Audio soundbite 5. This was John Fetterman talking about this whole situation. Listen to him. He's a Democrat.
But that seems to be their strategy too, Senator, to hide behind.
Yeah, that is their strategy. And now even in hospitals or in the tunnels and everything. And we also can't forget about the hostages as well, too. They've been now in custody now since October 7th. So it's an awful situation. And you don't have to agree. You don't have to agree with every leader's views. But, you know, we have an opportunity to stand with Israel in this situation. And that's what I've decided to do.
Did you see that video of him going on top of, what was it, one of the buildings in D.C. waving? He waved an Israel flag.
Yeah.
Because all the pro-Hamas screechers on the ground yelling at him. He had two staffers that quit. Okay, bye. We're taking him now. He's ours. I mean, I don't agree with him on a lot. But he has zero, I can't even believe I'm saying this. I've not been... I would never vote for him. But I don't, this is kind of like, was this what Democrats used to be like?
He's even a little right of like Manchin.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And he's been like moderate Democrat, at least my definition of it, for quite a while.
I am almost speechless, which you know is very difficult. I don't know what is this feeling that I have? This, he's a Democrat. I am so confused right now. He's correct.
Different strokes for different
folks. Is it safe to say that?
He is correct.
Golly. I mean, man, strokes, he's the only person who came out like better after a stroke that I know of. Oh my gosh. And I love that he was sitting there on the, with the, was it The View? Who was he on with? Oh, that was NBC. That was Oprah's best friend. I love that he was sitting there in his hoodie because, you know, he gets a hoodie pass now. Hey, I don't give him no hoodie and shorts. God bless America. I made so much fun of him for that, and I was very critical. But I'm going to give him a hoodie pass because he's not what like all the other moronic Democrats. So he gets a hoodie pass. Nobody else does. They deserve total ridicule. I'm going to give him a hoodie pass.
Now I have that Hoodie Ninja song stuck in my head.
What?
You don't remember the Hoodie Ninja song? We even played it on the show at one point. I think they even used it in a card commercial.
I'm afraid to ask because I don't.
Steve would have to invite play it.
Oh gosh. Well,
we can play it later.
We got to get going. Yeah, oh, thankfully we're up against a break. We got to ready wise. There we go. See, you're going to be set. You're going to be set. You're going to have all the nutritious meals that your family needs because you will have prepared with ReadyWise. If your family's hungry, you're going to go, you know what? Remember when I used code Dana20 and saved 20% on my regularly priced item and I visited ReadyWise.com and I purchased the 1 month supply 2 bucket bundle, several of those, which included 36 pouches of delicious premium survival food, 2,000 plus calories, 50 plus grams of protein per day, freeze dried, dehydrated, no refrigeration required, just add water, 25 year shelf life. And then you're going to be like, yay, I'm feeding my family while everything else just goes to Hades. See, you're going to be prepared. Whether it's a sudden storm, power outage, political stupidity, supply chain disruption, whatever it is, you will have the peace of mind knowing that you have meals on hand to feed your family, packed in an American facility, American grown food, harvested food, and you're not going to question where it comes from. So the time to prepare is now. Visit ReadyWise.com and use code Dana20 to save 20% off of any regularly priced item. ReadyWise.com, code Dana20.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Apple is exploring the mobile robot that follows users around their home, and it sounds like hell. And they've tried to make it cute with a little, I guess, like iPad screen and eyes. They try to make it look like a little Wall-E. Oh, that's Amazon's Astro that I'm looking at. But they have the Apple mobile robot would follow people around their house. They said it's to be an advanced tabletop home device. That sounds like horrible. I want to be left alone. I don't want to be followed around by it. Robot or anything else. And they said that one idea was for the display to mimic the head movements of a person on a FaceTime call, which is even creepier. Why do people need a robot to follow them around? Why? That's annoying to watch your every move. I see you when you're sleeping. I know when you're awake. That's creepy. I don't, people have got to stop this. You know what? I honestly think that all the social media, one of the other consequences of it is it's conditioning you to always want to be seen. Right? Ooh. A Chinese rocket exploded over California after going rogue. Sure. Re-entering the Earth's atmosphere months after the spy balloon fiasco. Mm-hmm, sure. Let's see. Bird flu. They're trying to say bird flu is going to be a million times worse than the Rona. That's what they're saying, the bird flu. And they're saying that everything, the virus has hit dairy cows. And oh my gosh, get ready. It's going to be bad. They're trying to see, they're testing the waters to see if you would be open to being shut down again, this time over the bird flu. I'm not joking. This is, you knew that this is what they were going to do. And they're also trying to say that, oh, well, now, you know, everything's going to be bird flu. We're going to have more expensive eggs. Chicken is going to be more expensive. Protein is going to be more expensive. You're probably going to have to get your protein from the bugs. You're going to eat bugs, live in dirt, own nothing, and love it. We're going to talk to Carol Roth about that, actually. And they're saying skyrocketing U.S. debt could trigger a market shock, according to the CBO chief. Yeah, because we can't apparently stop spending, like, for anything. Federal debt, it's bad. Our borrowing has hit an unprecedented level. And so now they're saying it's going to get really, really bad, guys. Carol Roth is going to join us next to talk about all that. Stick with us.
Where can you make a difference in your world? Pastor Alan Jackson explains.
The kitchen table is our first assignment. If we can't bring that biblical worldview to the people in our home, it's nonsense to look beyond that. Now, that's the hardest place because those are the same people that see you kick the dog. And then it's hard to talk to them about faith. But if we can do that, use the sphere of influence God has given us at our kitchen table and then our holiday table, that's a transformational process.
Subscribe to Culture and Christianity, an Alan Jackson podcast, on your favorite podcast app.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
The poll also finds negative perceptions about the economy do remain a problem for the incumbent. 63% of swing state voters say the U.S. economy is in not so good or poor condition, while just 36% say it's in excellent or good condition.
Ooh, this is going to be what's driving everything. Remember, Carville said it's the economy, stupid, and people are going to be going to vote in November going, okay, the previous 4 years, I was doing pretty good. Yeah, there was a lot of spending, and then we had the COVID thing. But otherwise, you know, the tax cuts, there were some things that were pretty good. Comparing that to whatever the hell Biden is doing, I don't even know. It kind of makes sense. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can watch us, Channel 347, DirecTV, X, everywhere else. I just want to get to our guest because I miss talking to her, and she's like my favorite person to talk about money. She likes making people money. She loves making money. She's a capitalist, and she knows a lot about it, and she's sounding the alarm on a lot of this stuff, and I'm trying not to have anxiety. I like how she calls herself a recovering investment banker, but you know Carol Roth, New York Times best-selling author of You Will Own Nothing, which is now like the biggest catchphrase in the entire election cycle, and I think currently. And make sure you check out her newsletter as well, carolroth.com, because she's going to tell you everything that you need to know and want to know going up into November. Carol, good to see you. So the economy is the number one issue. And yet I keep reading all these super scary headlines like danger, debt ahead, everything is getting completely unsustainable. And I was reading this piece just the other day about we could actually have a trigger, all the debt could trigger a market shock. And I don't see any way out of this.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you brought me on the program, Dana, to talk about really happy things as usual. And I love in the clip that they said that this economic situation is a problem for the incumbent, as it's not a giant problem for middle class and working class Americans every single day. No, it's his problem. No, I kind of think it's our problem. It is getting really scary. And this is something that everybody has raised the alarm on. The Fed, the CBO, the IMF, the Treasury, Jamie Dimon from JP Morgan Chase, a whole slew of other billionaires. So this is the elephant in the room that everybody clearly sees, has even said, hey, like, I think there's an elephant in the room, but nobody's like, oh, we should get the elephant out of the room. And unfortunately, you know, we're getting to the point where there are few options for us. I saw this ridiculous statistic. It's real, but it's ridiculous in terms of what it represents, that came out of Bank of America research this past week. And basically, what the analyst did is he projected where the interest expense alone on our debt is going. And he said that if the spending continues on the current trajectory and there is no change in interest rates this year, by the end of the year, we will have an annualized spend of $1.6 trillion, which would make it the largest budget item, more than Social Security. So we are now on track to spend more on things, not new things, to paying for the debt, stuff that we've already quote unquote bought, than for anything else. And raising taxes is not going to solve this.
No.
Cutting programs, if it was done in a way that didn't sort of upend the economy, might be able to do that. But no politician is going to have the will to be the one to stand up and go, we need to have a serious conversation with it. So outside of massive growth, massive productivity, a breakthrough in quantum computing or something that just, you know, really moves us forward, kind of like .com did, you know, back in the 90s, really the option they have left is to print more debt, to monetize that. That creates more inflation in our lives. And so the reality is, because We do not have any adults who are willing to do the difficult things. We do not have a president that was willing to let us go into a recession and let this settle out, as is natural in cycles when you have the Fed and the government messing with things. Now we have literally paid the price in terms of historic inflation, and this is something that unfortunately is not likely to go away.
I'm almost terrified to ask this next question. So talking with our good friend Carol Roth. So what's it look like for a market crash, Carol?
Well, so that's an interesting scenario. And obviously, I can't predict the future or the timing. If I could, I would be on a super yacht in the Mediterranean, Dana, not having this lovely conversation with you. But the reality is that the government needs the market to stay hot, because they depend on those capital gains taxes. They depend on companies doing well and paying, employing people and putting money in. If we don't have that, we don't have the revenue, the deficit becomes even bigger and this entire thing spirals out of control. So what happens, as we saw, over the last few years, and actually really the 15 years before that, when you have the Fed interfering and coming in and printing money and buying debt, what does that do? That inflates assets. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's good for you, because you may not be an asset holder, and it washes away your purchasing power. And on an inflation adjusted basis, you're not really doing any better. But it's like that 70s skit from Saturday Night Live with Dan Aykroyd, where he's like, wouldn't you like to drive $1 million car and have a $75,000 suit? Skit. We'll all be millionaires. So unfortunately, I think that's the trajectory of what's going to happen. They can't afford to let the market just completely crash. And because of the fact that the Treasury market, not to get too wonky, needs to absorb all of the money, not only for the refinancing of our debt as it comes due, but for the new debt, the new deficits that we have that get added to the debt. I think that intervention needs to take place in order to make sure that doesn't throw up all over itself, for lack of a technical term that people understand.
Yeah.
But so we don't get the chaos in the Treasury market. So I think they're going to be putting their fingers in the dike, so to speak, trying to band-aid this for as long as possible. And, unfortunately, if we go back to you will own nothing and sort of cycles, one thing that often happens in these scenarios is war. And certainly we hope that, a big world war, we're not going to be stuck in the middle of it. But when you get an entity that is desperate and filled with debt and doesn't see a way out, that's another way to do a reset in terms of the global financial system. So we'll hope that that doesn't happen. But we need to be prepared that there are a lot of outcomes here, and none of them are good for the middle and working class, which is why people need to get frustrated. They need to get loud. They need to let their elective representatives know that this is an issue, because they're just going to keep skating by until you shame them, until you, every single day you say, this is not acceptable. We have too much debt. You can't keep spending like this. They're just going to keep on keeping on because it gives them more power.
That's a great point that you just made, too. Talking with our friend Carol Roth, best-selling author of several books, You Will Own Nothing being her most recent. You can find her at carolroth.com and Carol J.S. Roth. I was trying to remember your handle on X. That's
I know,
a really
it's
good
confusing.
Point because we just had this omnibus that went through, the two-parter omnibus. We had the one big spending package that the House approved, and it feels like it's becoming more and more difficult. I mean, previously we had at least a way through the Republican Party with some, fiscal hawks, but now it's like those are too few and far between. We have somebody who's running the House that doesn't have a lot of political capital, and I think even less experience navigating, what he's got to do in order to get some of this, more austere sort of spending, type of package through. I just feel like we have, more so now than any other time in history, such fewer options available to us to stop this and rectify it, that I'm actually, and I've never thought this before, I actually don't think we can.
So it's a can versus will. So we can, and it's not going to be pleasant, and it takes adults. So will it likely happen? If I'm a betting woman, I'm going to say that it won't. And I think that's the distinction here, is that they have the path to do it, but we don't have popular. The people who are willing to stand up. You need to have politicians who don't care about, you know, their own power, right? So we're talking about going against human nature, saying, I really want to do this, you know, for the benefit of, you know, Americans broadly, for my kids, for my grandkids, to preserve the American dream. And unfortunately, our entire system, from the time that we pick candidates to going through the election cycle on up, isn't set up for that. If you are a good person who really wants to do the right thing, you're probably not running for office specifically at the federal level because of the things that they put you and your family through. So the people we end up getting, in large part, there are a couple of good eggs out there, but in large part are the last people that you would want to have in charge. So what we need to do is get it back to a point where they don't have the purview, where we say, I'm sorry, this isn't, you know, this isn't what you're able to do, that you're hamstrung, that you don't have the ability to do that. But it does take getting the right people in there, at least for a moment in time, in order to do that. Or if somebody with a, you know, better legal sense than I am, you know, I'm not a lawyer, I don't play one on television or the radio, knows, but if there's a way to, you know, sue our way into saying, you know, what you're doing is unconstitutional, try to hamstring it that way. You know, that's really the only way we get back to some normalcy. And it's really frustrating too, because we know that when the dollars are in the hands of the people who earn them, that are in the private sector, they're productive. That is what really helps grow the economy. That is an infinite opportunity. Creating wealth is an infinite opportunity. Putting it in the government's hands to redistribute that, that's a finite exercise.
You made a great point on this, not to interrupt you. You were talking about wasting money on ESG, DEI, and other counterproductive measures. You're like, if companies want to make a difference, they should provide more ownership opportunities. And you said stock equity gets you better outcomes than social equity. That's a great idea. I have no idea why that isn't the approach over the social equity.
This is what I've been pounding the table. It's because they want to drive equity of outcomes, meaning dragging everybody down to be dependent on the government instead of really providing that opportunity, that equality of opportunity to lead a better, more independent life, which is what we want. And, you know, as I talk about in You Will Own Nothing, you have to own things, particularly assets that have the opportunity to appreciate and value in order to create wealth. And that's what we want for people. So if you are an employee at any level and you're helping to build a company, you should have an opportunity to help participate in that. And if companies were focusing on that kind of equity, stock equity, giving you ownership in something instead of this, you know, faux concept of social equity, dragging everybody down to the lowest common denominator, we would have people who are thriving. We would be able to go into the communities that are hurting and give them the opportunity to live that American dream. But that doesn't serve the elite. That doesn't serve the politicians. You know, it's just common sense, Dana. So, of course, we can't do that.
Yeah, we can't do that because that's never the goal. They want to keep that distinction that, I don't know, it's just like this weird, it's the progressivism and the progressive approach to finance just like is like a throwback to like feudalism days. It's the weirdest thing. It's just like that. That's what they go for.
It's a disconnection from reality. They live in a completely like made up universe. And their economics follow this made up universe. Yeah. Like it would be a really great, you know, story, mythical story. But in reality, it just doesn't work.
One day you're going to be on here to talk about super happy, like celebratory things. Like maybe puppies. After November, maybe you'll come on. You'll be like, Dana, these tax cuts. I mean, did you expect them to completely, you know, get rid of the IRS? I didn't. Can you believe all these capital gains tax gone? The corporate tax? Can you believe it's amazing? And then we'll celebrate. I'm waiting for that day. I'm hoping it comes.
We're putting it in the universe.
We got to bring Carolyn as the heavy, and then she makes everybody cry. And then we, you know, then we're all sad for like the rest of the show. Carol all Roth, right. Always a pleasure. The book, if you don't have You Will Own Nothing, you need to get it. I think it should be required reading in every single college class in America. It's such a great book. Carol Roth, always a pleasure. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, my friend.
Of course. Good to see you. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up the second hour. And we're rolling into Florida Man. And, you know, Florida Man, we got a lot of good stuff coming up with that. Maybe Florida Man can bring some sanity to all of this. Maybe not. We're all sad now and depressed. And the economy is going to crash. Well, no. Just, you know, buy gold from Gold Co. and we'll bury it all in the backyard. The only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country for 10 years. they've been offering not just the best customer service, but also affordable coverage. And they have dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You're getting the best service in your area without funding the left. And the other thing, too, is that there's no interruption in service. I mean, when I travel internationally, I never have an issue with my service ever at all. I mean, I literally did, like a couple of years ago, I was out in the middle of the ocean somewhere on a boat, and I pulled over at this one key. We were down in the Exumas, and I literally called into my own show. Never had any issue, but that's Patriot Mobile. You have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team to help make switching easy for you. You can keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. The choice is yours. And when you switch, you're putting money and momentum behind the things you vote to protect every election. So visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make that switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, I want to immediately go to the Bible story here. This a Florida man was accused of hitting a Walgreens store manager with a Bible on Easter Sunday, taking the phrase Bible thumper to a whole new level. Ba-dum-tsh. Nobody laughed. It's all right. This dude, sadly, why would you? First off, it's in a Walgreens, and I'm trying to pull the story up, and everything is just not wanting to work. Because Safari, guess what? Safari's horrible. This story, though, this guy was accused of hitting this Walgreens store manager and ended up, I mean, that's like a assaulter. I think it's a base, that's a, it's an assault charge. I can't get the story up, so we're going to move over. For some reason, it's not wanting to get it. I'll come back to it. Apologies, but sometimes it's not my fault. A Florida man impersonating a T-Mobile worker climbed down after disconnecting objects. He was literally on the, I don't want to say on the pole, but he was on the pole. He was on the pole, and he was
hard times
disconnecting objects from the cell tower in Miami. He doesn't look to, I'm looking at the photo, it doesn't look like he has a harness or anything on either. And he was tearing clamps and other stuff off. And it was 7 a.m. The cell phone company called the police because they found out this guy was impersonating an employee and they brought him down. It took him, he didn't come down till 11. He was up there. They saw him around 7.
He actually invited an actual cellular worker up there to see the view with him.
Yeah. They said, well, the negotiating team is talking with him. The sirens prompted a real T-Mobile worker to be dispatched. The T-Mobile worker gets to the scene and he goes, he notices somebody's on the tower. And he goes, and then the guy on the tower starts talking about God and asks the worker, please come see the view with me. One of the onlookers said, it's crazy. He's like Spider-Man. He threw things down. He didn't listen to officers. And then finally, one of the guys was yelling, those gray boxes, those are hot. Yelling that out there to him. So finally he came down. He thanked the first responders. And then he had to go to the pokey because, you know, you can't be doing that. You can't be climbing up. And that is kind of wild, though, that you could just, that he was able to get up there. It's not secured. I actually haven't thought about that, and I feel bad that I haven't thought about it yet.
Manually shut it off. So
yeah. So this guy, what ended up happening? This Florida man, different source, because this I couldn't get this website to open. He hit a Walgreens manager in the face with a Bible on Easter Sunday. Man, that guy just needs to shave the rest of his hair off. It's not going out so well for him. Clearwater Beach, Peter Owens, 35, felony battery after the incident. Why is that not assault? It's battery, but apparently it was a fight over Cheez-Its.
Oh.
Are you serious? $5,000 bond. He was released. We have our third hour on the way. Stick with us. If you've not tried Black Rifle Coffee yet, now is the perfect time. It's one of the most popular coffee companies in America for a reason. Veteran-owned and operated, employing both veteran and active duty, and their families. BlackRifleCoffee.com. They want to save you 20% using code Dana and 20% off of premium coffee. Served up by people who love America. They have great roast profiles. And you can save money with the coffee club. That way, when you go to blackriflecoffee.com, when you sign up for the coffee club, you get your roast, whichever roast you pick, frequency of shipment, and it's shipped for free right to your doorstep. So you're never going to run out of coffee. And they have everything, too, from not just, you know, the awesome coffee, which you can get grounds, you can get whole beans, but they also have K-cups ready to drink. They have apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, everything to create that perfect brew. And try it for yourself today at blackriflecoffee.com. Order today and get 20% off with code Dana. 20% off using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
We're not going to violate the law simply because it's broken in trying to address the border. But no doubt that the border has been a place where you don't have a sense of people who are passing drugs at random because they get to because the borders are open. No, they're not.
The issue is
when people do come in and request asylum, there is a legal process here.
What did he just say? They're not. Hang on, let me look at it. They're not just passing drugs because they get to because the borders are open. That's an actual thing that he just said. People who are passing drugs at random because they get to because the borders are open. No, they're not.
That's our Health and Human Services Secretary.
The former AG of California, who is somehow the Health and Human Services Secretary. I don't get that one, but okay. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Good to be with you. Top of this third hour. That's so goofy. That's so goofy. Well, they are. They are. And there's tons of evidence of it. And it's on video. And they, I mean, we've know this. He just has no idea what's happening down there. And we're going to have all these problems still that we're going to continue having these problems until they get serious about the border. That's it. I mean, that's it. So welcome back. I have an update for, I'll pull this up because this is just now about 7 minutes ago. From the Wall Street Journal, Biden calls for immediate ceasefire in Gaza in call with Israel's Netanyahu. So it looks like he's finally done it. I think everybody was waiting for him to, I think whether or not the left was going to have him do this or not. This is one of the latest things on the, because they had their phone call already. They had their phone call today. I don't think they have the readout available yet. But they had their phone call today, and in it, the Associated Press says that Biden told Netanyahu that future U.S. support for war depends on new steps to protect civilians. And he said that this was after the food aid workers in Gaza. No, they keep saying the food aid workers in Gaza. What about the Israeli hospital workers that were killed when Hamas bombed an Israeli hospital just a couple of months ago that nobody wants to talk about? Notice how there was not immediate international outrage over that. They bombed a damn hospital. Anybody want to talk about that? Oh, we're talking about these aid workers. Okay, that's fine. Nobody wants to talk about Hamas indiscriminately just firing off rockets and killing random innocents in Israel. Why is it that Hamas is always excluded from this equation? No, anybody who's serious about resolving this conflict doesn't excuse them from this equation. He said he made it clear for the need to Israel for Israel to announce and implement a series of specific, concrete, and immeasurable steps to address civilian harm, blah, blah, blah. You know that they do what do they call those? The door knocker bombs or the door knockers, a knife and a bomb. It's like for the lack of a better way to explain it, the way that I understand it is that it's like a firecracker, essentially. And they let those off in an area that they're planning on striking, at giving anybody who's in the vicinity enough time to evacuate and get out, including the people that they're trying to get, the Hamas people they're trying to get. That is how careful Israel has been with all of this. And the idea for Jose Andre, or this, he's a dumbass. He is a communist D-bag. I cannot stand this guy. He's uber rich. I'm not excusing my language. I have meaner things I could say about this guy, but unfortunately the FCC regulations prevent me from speaking as honest as I want to be about him. I am not a fan, and I haven't been a fan of him in a long time, and I think his restaurants suck. That being said, he gets out there and he talks about these aid workers, but did he provide meals for the women who were raped? Did he provide meals for the hostages that Hamas is keeping in Gaza, particularly the American hostages that Hamas is keeping in Gaza? No, he hasn't. And then he has the audacity to parrot Hamas propaganda and try to incite international outrage against an entity for defending itself against a horrific attack that they continue to do and have been doing for 20 years. So, no, we're not having it. So this call that they had, Biden said, told Netanyahu, quote, an immediate ceasefire is essential, and told Israel to reach a deal without delay. Israel is not the issue. Hamas doesn't have to do anything. Whenever Hamas ups the ante, whenever Hamas kills more people, whenever Hamas decides to do something, Biden and Democrats respond not by turning up the pressure on Hamas, but by turning up the pressure on the entity that Hamas has victimized already, Israel. Joe Biden doesn't have any authority, nor does any other nation, to tell Israel to not do anything. Israel, I hope Israel goes in there and destroys the hell out of Hamas and all of its supporters. This is asinine. And you wonder why. Think about this. China and Russia and every other entity are looking at this situation. Every other United States ally to that end is also looking. Every United States ally is looking at this situation, and they're watching as the United States walks away from yet another another ally. Whether it was the Afghan interpreters in Afghanistan, I mean, name something. Here's something else that the United States is, that Joe Biden's administration is trying to screw up. Do you think Hamas makes announcements about when they're going to strike? I'm just curious. Do you think they will? Amazing. So I guess they got what they wanted, right, Kane? They got what they wanted. Exactly. They wanted to make it to where Biden was calling for a ceasefire, so they got Biden calling for a ceasefire. Now, in the meantime, if you read the, pull this up, over at the newsletter, over at Substack, War Inc. unveils a plan to circumvent voter commander-in-chief to fund forever war in Ukraine. While all of this is happening with Israel and Gaza, the United States and a number of Western countries are giving NATO the reins over U.S.-led multinational Ukraine Defense Contact Group. And they're saying that, well, they have to Trump-proof their operations, their ongoing operations in Ukraine. So it does a couple of things. It suggests that they think Trump might win and that he's going to win in November, or he might win in November. And so they're, and it also sidesteps the authority of a free people in a republic that really oversee all of this, and the authority of an elected government figure, i.e. the executive. According to this piece, and we have it, it's up on Chapter and Verse, citing Politico, it says a second U.S. official said that another proposal would give NATO a more formalized seat at the table within the Ukraine group, as opposed to moving it under NATO control. The idea from the U.S. side would be to strengthen ties between NATO and Ukraine for long-term support. What? And they're talking about pushing, I don't want Ukraine in NATO. So this, they would have Lloyd Austin take charge of more than 40 nations to discuss how to use tax dollars. And they plan to put the governing of this operation under NATO. Now, the DOD spokesperson, Major Charlie Dietz declined to confirm the discussions. They said that DOD had no new announcements to make regarding the format of the structure. But, you know, it was Financial Times. You had, I think it was Wall Street Journal and others saying that, yeah, they're going to try to Trump-proof anything related to the U.S. sending not just money, but munitions to Ukraine. They don't want him to remember. We just had Carol Roth on. Kane, what did Carol Roth talk about? You know, when you get to a point where, you know, when you don't have, like, for instance, you know, quantum computing or a major jump like the .com drug us up, you know, and economically, what is it that you need?
So, right. Because they've already been doing it, is printing the hell out of money and then tokenizing that debt.
Right. War. Huh. War. Apparently, NATO foreign ministers are meeting this week in Brussels to discuss all of this. Yeah, you guys weren't aware of it, were you? We're all just, isn't that lovely? We're all finding out now. Just lovely. I'm telling you, this all goes into it. All goes into it. This is just this administration and everything that it is giving allowance to is setting the stage for nothing good. Nothing good. But we'll have something on this. I'll put it up at chapter and verse, this latest with the call, like I said, when the readout is available. I'm curious as to how, I'm curious as to how forceful Biden was when talking to Netanyahu about this, because remember, Democrats are trying to make it look like he's, you know, incredibly tough and hard with Netanyahu so he can make, keep the Muslim American vote happy, the Muslim vote happy in America. But he hasn't really stepped away from it, though. That's the other thing I'm taking away from this. He hasn't really stepped away from support of it. That's not what, right, Kane? That's not what I'm getting out of this. So maybe it's just, you know, he's saying something and not doing it. And I want the readout before I speculate, because he wants to give that, you know, that squad aspect in the Democrat Party. He wants to give them that optic of he called for a ceasefire. But yet, if he's saying that he's not going to, we're not going to support the conflict, you know, your efforts, if you're not taking precautions, they're the only entity taking precautions. I mean, they're actually treating Gazans that Hamas hurts in Israeli hospitals. That's why there was like such outrage when Hamas bombed that Israeli hospital, because it was an Israeli hospital that was actually treating people in Gaza. Yeah. They didn't tell you that though, right? And all of the propaganda that you heard in the news, they didn't talk about that, did they? No, they didn't. They didn't say anything about that. So goodness. And I'm pulling up this story. I had it cited in the piece. It was near a Ramallah hospital that they had fired into. They fired at Jerusalem. They fired. There was a hospital in Ramallah that was hit. That was from Hamas, that Hamas did. Nobody talked about that, though, did they? Mm-mm. No discussion of that. And they finally, very quietly, you know, because it didn't look good for them, they finally, you know, they launched rockets completely indiscriminately, and they don't care where it lands. There was no outrage over that. Did anybody sit down with Hamas and say, you need to be very, very careful, and, you know, you need to show us? Nobody said that to Hamas. Nobody said that to them. There was no outrage. You didn't get a stern call or a stern statement from the White House. You didn't even get a statement from the White House for that, actually. I'm looking back through all my... You didn't even get one. Interesting. And that tells you everything. Speaking of... I know we got to get going, but Seattle is scrambling to raise $5,000 daily for hotel costs for 240 threatening asylum seekers. They overtook a school play area. And they hijacked it. They squatted in it. Now they're putting up tents and all this stuff and flags. And they said that they're traumatized. We're going to talk about that because Seattle's now trying to figure out how to deal with it. We have a lot more on the way. I know.
And now all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So as you heard, we were talking about just a little bit ago, Biden is asking for a ceasefire in its war, Israel's response to Hamas after they murdered 1,200 people on October 7th. He said that U.S. policy, policy with respect to Gaza could change if Israel doesn't meet his demands. And then it's weird because in the statement, too, he has a sentence that says he urged the prime minister to empower his negotiators to conclude a deal without delay to bring the hostages home, as though it's just, you know, this is all Israel's responsibility and all their fault. That's kind of what it suggests in this. So we're going to have something up on that later on Substack, chapter and verse. A million simulations, one verdict for the U.S. economy. Debt danger ahead, as we talked with Carol Roth just a last hour. CBO's warned in its latest projections that debt is on a path of, oh my gosh, 97% of GDP last year to 116% in 2034. I'm just going to just go get gold from Gold Co. and I'm going to bury everything in my yard, and then I'm going to have my Ready Wise food, and we're just going to be set. That's what we're doing. Let's see. Adderall prescriptions are being filled less often. There's an ongoing shortage in the U.S. Angie Harmon. I was on this fence as to if I wanted to read this story because it involves a dog, and you guys know I get a little nutty with that to a nutty degree. But she was on Law and Order. She said that her family, her dog Ollie, they live in North Carolina, She said that a driver for Instacart shot her family's dog to death over Easter. And yeah. Listen to this stupid sentence. The Post describes one of many cases in the U.S. where there are more guns than people. But somebody actually wrote that. I know that's another reason why I've been hesitant to read this piece. They said that a guy delivering groceries for Instacart shot and killed her dog. And that the man claimed, according to Harmon, that he did it in self-defense and police did not arrest him. But she said the dog hadn't bit him or torn his, you know, pants or scratched him or anything. Apparently they have Ring surveillance camera footage, but it doesn't capture the guy shooting the dog. And apparently the guy was shopping. She says that he was shopping for Instacart under a false identity. And the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department confirmed some of the details. They said he said that he did it in self-defense. No arrests were made. So, I don't know. I got questions. We have a lot more on the way. Third hour. And, wow, Seattle's really feeling it with these illegal immigrants. Stick with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In your readout, when you say the president made clear that the U.S. policy with respect to Gaza will be determined by our assessment of Israel's immediate action, could you decode that for us? What exactly is the warning that's being issued here?
I think it's very clear in the language itself, Nancy. We're looking for concrete steps to alleviate humanitarian suffering in Gaza. Again, I won't get ahead of what the Israelis will or won't say or announce. We're looking for concrete steps to be announced here soon. And it's not just about the announcement of concrete steps and changes in their policies, but it's the execution of those announcements and those decisions and implementing them. And so we obviously will watch closely and monitor how they do on the commitments that they make. And as I said earlier, if there's no changes to their policy and their approaches, then there's going to have to be changes to ours.
I think what the world wants to understand is the White House warning that it may remove military aid? What exactly is the threat here?
I think I've stated it pretty clearly, and I'm not gonna, as I said earlier, I'm not gonna preview steps. I'm not gonna preview decisions that haven't been made yet. But there are things that need to be done.
Here's my issue. This is so stupid. This is John Kirby, who is answering questions about this call that just took place a little bit earlier this afternoon between Biden and Netanyahu, in which Biden has apparently called for an immediate ceasefire and said that there has to be some conditions in which they would still continue to support Israel's response. The AP put it that Biden told Netanyahu that future U.S. support for war depends on new steps to protect civilians. What amazes me is the lack of protections for civilians that Hamas has, and that's okay. I mean, the hostages be damned, and they include American hostages as well. And the idea also that Netanyahu has to be the one to offer forth a ceasefire. This is after, over the past 6+ months, Hamas has refused a ceasefire and has also refused to release any hostages. So why is the onus on Israel to make this offer and Israel to implement anything when it's Hamas that has rejected ceasefire offers and they've outright refused to release any hostages? Oh, unless you release all of the Gazan terrorists who were arrested either trying to bomb, stab, or otherwise maim or kill innocent Israelis simply because they're Jewish and they are their neighbor to the north. That's what's so idiotic about this. Because if Hamas released the hostages and stopped bombing Israel tomorrow, Israel's response would cease tomorrow. But if Israel's the only entity that lays down arms and doesn't do anything, then guess what? Just like the ceasefire that was in place October 6th and the millions of ceasefire agreements that Hamas broke before that, Hamas will break it and then Israel is left again defenseless and attacked and loses more people. That is what's happened for 20 years. Every ceasefire that has been broken by Hamas without exception. Every single one. Hamas refuses to acknowledge that entity's right to exist. It is written verbatim in their charter. So why is it that the pressure's on Israel to make good on this? Israel is defending itself. And you know what? If you just think about this, if you had a neighbor who for 20 years attacked you, bombed you, sent rockets over, sent suicide bombers over, sent vehicles over to blow up near city centers, if they dug tunnels onto your property, say you were having a barbecue and they sent a truck over and blew up in your backyard while you were having a barbecue. All of this stuff for 20 years at some point, and then they came in and killed half your family. What would your response be? Especially if they refused to recognize your right to live there. And especially if your neighbor on video said that there's going to be many more October 7ths. You can go to Substack where I have the video up there, link for you to see. And they said they were going to keep doing it. Would you not just utterly destroy them as the only way to keep yourself safe when every other means of diplomacy has failed? Every other bit of diplomacy that they have tried for 20 years has failed because Hamas refuses to honor it. There's a reason why Jordan doesn't want Gazans coming in. There's a reason why Egypt won't allow them to come in. There's a reason why, you know, the Gazans that overwhelmingly voted for Hamas in 2006, who, according to two separate polls, one taken in early March and another from December of last year, showing by Gazan entities, showing overwhelming support still for Hamas. There's a reason why those other countries don't want them. There's a reason, because they can't live in peace with anybody. They refuse to live peacefully with anyone. We have Americans who have been now for 6 months held hostage by Hamas. Did Biden think to bring that up at all during the call? I haven't heard him make a statement about it otherwise. Do you? I mean, the whole, all of this, the entirety of this was caused by Hamas. You can't, there's no way, this is not a serious party. You know what this means? It means that Biden bent a knee to Hamas. That's what they mean. You have Blinken here. I've got this audio as well. Let me see if we can. We have Secretary Blinken, who had said that President Biden spoke a short while ago with Netanyahu. They discussed the situation in Gaza. And he had also said that there is no more important step or no more important priority in Gaza than protecting civilians, is what he had said. I'm going to put this in Slack because this is all coming out now with response. This is about like a minute 20. But he said that the president emphasized the strikes on humanitarian workers, etc. Okay, well, what about the Americans in Gaza? What about the Jewish people that are fighting for survival and to defend themselves? This administration just bent the knee to Hamas, just like they bent the knee to the Taliban in Afghanistan. That's exactly what they just did. If we have some of this, we can play it. This is Blinken just about 20 minutes ago.
With Prime Minister Netanyahu, the leaders discussed the situation in Gaza. The president emphasized that the strikes on humanitarian workers and the overall humanitarian situation are unacceptable. He made clear the need for Israel to announce a series of specific, concrete, and measurable steps to address civilian harm, humanitarian suffering, and the safety of aid workers. He made clear that U.S. policy with respect to Gaza will be determined by our assessment of Israel's immediate action on these steps. He underscored as well that an immediate ceasefire is essential to stabilize and improve the humanitarian situation and protect innocent civilians, and he urged Prime Minister Netanyahu to empower his negotiators to conclude a deal without delay to bring the hostages home. The two leaders also discussed public Iranian threats against Israel and the Israeli people. President Biden reaffirmed the United States' strong support for Israel in the face of these threats and our commitment to Israel's security.
Right now, Kane notes, there's no higher priority than the civilians that Hamas. What about the civilians that Hamas uses as human shields? No, like I said, this is Biden. Biden has bent the knee to Hamas, just like he bent the knee to the Taliban in Afghanistan. That's exactly what this is. There is no other way to look at it. It is exactly what it is. And then it's interesting because Kirby was asked, does Biden believe a military victory against Hamas is possible for Israel? And like Kirby really had no answer to it. It was just a bunch of, you know, garble, Hamburglar, garble. He had no, and to that point, let me pull this story up because I just saw this. So apparently the IDF now is citing retaliation threats from Iran has canceled all home leave for combat troops. Hamas has no incentive to cooperate. They have no incentive to release hostages. They don't have any incentive to do anything because they know that the left in the United States and their leftist allies elsewhere are going to go to bat for them. And this is actually the administration backing an Iranian proxy. That's exactly what this is. this was Kirby, who was asked this just a little bit ago. He's asked if Biden believes a military victory against Hamas is possible for Israel, who, as you know, now canceled all home leave for combat troops. Listen to Kirby's weird response here.
At this point in the conflict, does President Biden believe that a military victory against Hamas is possible for Israel?
Obviously, that's going to be up to the Israeli Defense Forces and the Israeli government to determine. Well, as I've said many, many times, it's difficult to eliminate an ideology with military means. But you can absolutely, through military means, decapitate their leadership, dry up their resources, eliminate their infrastructure, their ability to operate.
It's not just an ideology. It's an elected government. It is the elected representative government of Hamas and the de facto government of West Bank. And it would be had the Palestinian Authority not canceled elections in 21 because they feared Fatah being overtaken. So it's not just an ideology. It's a government. It's a government that doesn't recognize one other nation's right to exist. It's a government that apparently is allowed to use human shields, civilians as human shields. But where was this concern for? This is why these people aren't serious. Israel, it's always been Israel's responsibility to protect its own. But I think now there's more so, it's more obvious than ever. They're not even going to get support from the United States now because of this administration just to merely defend themselves. We are further empowering Iran. Add that to it. Yeah. Oh, and yeah. And then add this to it as well. So Kirby, just add. Kane just dropped this in. Go ahead and play this. This is about Taiwan. Go ahead and drop this in. All right. Hang on a second. This is just asinine. Here it is. Here we go. It's just all the fun comes at the end of the hour. Look at this.
Reportedly told President Biden during their summit in San Francisco that Beijing plans to reunify Taiwan with mainland China. Did the Chinese leader bring up a similar sentiment in their call the other day? And if so, what was President Biden's response?
Certainly Taiwan came up in the context of the call. There's not a single discussion that we don't have with senior leaders in the PRC where we don't talk about Taiwan. Of course it came up. I won't characterize President Xi's comments, but I can tell you that President Biden was very, very clear that nothing's changed about our one China policy. We don't support independence for Taiwan, but we also don't want to see the status quo changed in a unilateral way, and certainly not by force.
Bending the knee to everyone. There isn't a tyrant or a terrorist that Biden won't rush to bend a knee to. Wow. It's getting bumpy, guys.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
American policy has actually been for a very long time that we do not provide military aid to people or countries that are in violation of international law or domestic U.S. law. And our laws are clear that anyone engaged in combat has to be careful about civilian life and has to give access to humanitarian aid. Prime Minister Netanyahu is clearly not doing that.
What? What is this fake Indian talking about?
No clue.
First off, you're talking about Israel versus a terrorist group, and the terrorist group doesn't honor Geneva. They don't honor the Oslo Accord. They don't honor anything, any other accord, any other agreement. They don't honor any of it by nature of being terrorist, first and foremost. So get that through your pea brain. Secondly, Israel's not the ones using their own citizens as human shields. It's Hamas. Israel's taken great care. You're in a war zone. Hamas has made it so. They are purposefully using innocent people as shields in a war zone. And I just wish that her concern extended to the American hostages. I'm telling you, it's just, this is, here's why I think this should make you angrier than I think that you probably are, because this is more than just Israel versus Hamas. It is literally good versus evil, and one entity being able to defend itself against an antagonistic entity that has been a bully in the region, backed by a larger bully for so long, and they market themselves as the underdog, but they are not. They are incredibly well-funded, to the tune of billions. Their leaders, their rich, fat leaders, live in Qatar. They don't live in the strip that they've made into a hellscape with the poors. They don't live there. The people who still oddly vote for them and support them, they don't live there. You have an entire two territories of people that believe that a terrorist group best represents them. Two territories of people who vote for a terrorist group that doesn't believe in Israel's right to exist. Two territories of people who voted for a terrorist group that that attacked people on October 7th, and the voters, the people who support them, think that that was acceptable. And then when the entity defends itself against it, they're the bad ones. This is exactly what we see play out in so many different scenarios. Here, if you're an innocent person and you defend yourself like Daniel Penny or anyone else, you're immediately the bad guy. If you defend yourself, you're the bad person, because all benefit of the doubt is always ever given to the criminal or the antagonist every time. You don't get to defend yourself. You have to take it. Kane, today in stupidity.
It will be John Kirby. Go ahead and just play this real quick.
On October 7th, President Biden said, "My administration's support for Israel's security is rock solid and unwavering." That is not true anymore, correct?
It is true. Still true today.
How is his support unwavering, but you're also reconsidering policy choices?
You can't be trying to dictate how they both defend themselves and act like you're unwavering in your support. That's
You can't do that. Folks, that does it for us today. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. We'll have some good stuff out about this. Find us on Facebook, YouTube, like, and subscribe. Back with you tomorrow.